Sea Lord and Chief of the Defence Staff, member of the royal family and mentor of Prince Philip and Prince Charles. His life, which covered the first 80 years of the 20th century, also provides an opportunity to look at some of the most important and controversial issues of the period, from the 1942 Dieppe raid to Indian independence. His biography cannot be told without also considering the life of his wife, Edwina, the richest heiress in the world when they married, whose reputation for her global humanitarian work endures. Philip Ziegler's magisterial official life of Dickey was published in 1985, and Janet Morgan's deft, authorised life of Edwina came out 6 years later. What is missing is a shorter, joint biography of these two remarkable figures, a book which is also a portrait of an unusual marriage, one that was loving and mutually supportive, but also beset with infidelities. As Dickey would later claim, "Edwina and I spent all our married lives getting into other people's beds." With the Mountbattens, the private life did intrude into the public life, not least in the question over the nature of the relationship between Edwina and the Indian Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, and how far it affected the perception of the impartiality of the Mountbattens during independence. Even after countless books on the couple, the questions remain. Was Mountbatten one of the outstanding leaders of his generation, or a man overpromoted because of his royal birth, high-level connections, film star looks, and ruthless self-promotion? What is the true story behind controversies such as the Dieppe raid and Indian partition, and the love affair between Edwina and Nehru? The authorized biographies had certain subjects they had to cover and to avoid. Now, 30 years later, with many of those involved in the story dead, with new papers released and new sensitivities, there is a case for a new book. The interesting biography will be the one that is published in 30 or 40 years' time, when the dust has settled, wrote Mountbatten's military assistant Pat McClellan to Brian Kimmins, a wartime member of Dickey's staff in 1980. This book is that attempt. Prologue. Tuesday, the 18th of July, 1922. In spite of the rain, by breakfast, 600 people had gathered outside St. Margaret's, the 12th century church in the shadow of Westminster Abbey, and a favourite for society weddings. By lunchtime, the crowd would swell to 8,000. For the Daily Telegraph, this was to be the wedding of the year. The Star thought it the wedding of the century, between the beautiful Edwina Ashley, the richest girl in the world, and Lord Louis Mountbatten, the handsome naval officer and a member of the extended royal family. King George V and Queen Mary and most members of the royal family were attending, with the Prince of Wales as best man. At exactly 2:15 p.m., Edwina entered the church to Wagner's Lohengrin. The service was conducted by Dickey's former school tutor, Frederick Lawrence Long. "The Lord is my shepherd" was followed by the hymns "Thine for ever" and "May the grace of God our Saviour," whilst Beethoven's "Hallelujah" was sung during the signing of the register. The couple, Dickey at 6'2", dwarfing his wife, emerged from the church to Mendelssohn's wedding march just as the sun broke through the rain, and they walked under the traditional arch of swords of a naval guard of honour. Mountbatten, his sharp, chiselled face set in a solemn expression, was dressed in a long blue frock coat and golden epaulettes in the dress uniform of a naval lieutenant, and carrying his father's gold-hilted sword. Edwina, blue-eyed and fair-haired, was in a simple, ankle-length, frosted silver dress, with a wreath of orange blossom on her head and a 4-foot train of silver cloth covered with 15th-century lace. They climbed into the bridal car, a Rolls-Royce, a wedding gift from Edwina bought from the Prince of Wales, which was then drawn by a naval gun crew around Parliament Square. Around the corner, a flag-draped lorry took over, towing the car past Buckingham Palace to the reception at the bride's home, Brook House in Park Lane. There, the entrance to the two ground-floor reception rooms, where a narrow dividing room had been made into an avenue of 10-foot orange trees, the couple received their 800 guests. So large was the wedding cake, with its top tier shaped like a crown, plus miniature anchors, sails and hawsers, and tiny lifeboats hanging from silver davits, that it took 4 men to lift it. The wedding had attracted attention around the world, with entire issues of magazines devoted to it, postcards and souvenirs produced to commemorate the occasion, and a 14-minute film for Pathé News. The list of presents took up a whole page.